Jonah chapter 4. Okay, this chapter is about Jonah's anger at the Lord's compassion versus God's patient love. Okay. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord. O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in his shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the plant? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come now to listen to your word explained, we pray that you would help us to set aside anything that gets in the way of that. Help us to focus upon you and upon your word. We thank you for this chapter of Jonah, and we recognize that you have great patient love for Jonah as you work with him. Lord, teach us to live our lives before an audience of one, that we might trust you, that we might live under your gracious hand, that we might look only to you for all that we need, and in the end might we point clearly to you as our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Well, here we have we've already had God's call on Jonah's life, Jonah's disobedience. But as Jonah went down, God provided a storm that caused the sailors to hear, a great fish to preserve Jonah, and in the middle of the fish, in the middle of the sea, Jonah prays, but he forgets to say he is sorry. Jonah now obeys God, and going to Nineveh, he proclaims destruction in 40 days. Well, the king and all his people surprisingly, shockingly, repent and humble themselves before God. Who knows, they say, who knows, God may yet relent. As an aside, isn't it assuring that we can be certain of our salvation? God did indeed have compassion on Nineveh, and he did not destroy it. Jonah has conducted one of the single most successful evangelistic campaigns in history. So here we are in chapter 4. It seems like all the action is over, and all we seem to be left with is an angry prophet sitting in the hot sun waiting. Now the spectacular may be over, but the lesson is not. Chapter 4 is really where the heavy lifting is done, where God patiently loves Jonah enough to confront both his anger and his lack of concern for the people of Nineveh. And so we turn to Jonah's angry wait. Jonah has seen the repentance of Nineveh, but that is all he seems to know for sure. Jonah chapter 3 verse 10 said, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But this seems to be hidden from Jonah. Jonah doesn't seem to see that until chapter 4 verse 10. Now we know Jonah knows God's character because he quotes God's character in verse 2 when he says, I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now most of those words are a direct quote out of Exodus 34:6. Jonah knows who God is, what his character is like. But he doesn't seem to think Nineveh is entitled to this sort of love. And so we find ourselves in a chapter of waiting. We find Jonah outside the sea. 120,000 people have just turned to God and repented. And Jonah, surely he's celebrating, right? Wouldn't that be how you and I would feel if we saw a whole city turn back to God or turn to God? But not Jonah. Instead of celebrating, we find Jonah waiting. A whole day. 2 days. A week. Watching. Waiting. What's God going to do? God, you will destroy them, right? Their sin piled up to heaven. Remember, they are a violent people. Remember, God. Jonah, waiting, watching. A week turns into 2 weeks, and then a month. It's getting closer now, isn't it, God? I know that they repented. Well, at least they pretended to, God, but surely by now they've gone back to their old ways. Maybe he hears an argument coming from the city, and he pictures a man now drunk, yelling at his wife, maybe beating his servant. And he thinks, I knew that wouldn't last. 36 days, 37, 38, 39. Surely God will act. And yet God has already acted, hasn't he? He saw their repentance. He heard and he turned his anger aside. But Jonah continues to wait and stew and think and wait and sweat. Boy, is it hot. He is angry. Jonah has been angry since Jonah, the very first verse in Jonah. And yet only now we're told that he is angry. Why is Jonah angry? A leafy vine grows up over Jonah. Relief. God's provision, God's kindness towards Jonah. It provides shade and much needed relief. And Jonah was pleased about the vine. But Jonah was still not pleased with God's actions towards the people of Nineveh. God, these are not your people, are they? They do not deserve this. They do not deserve even to live. What are you doing, God? And a worm comes along and chews the vine. And this too, we are told, is God's provision, God's kindness towards Jonah. And the result? The vine dies. It's hot again, and still there is no sign of God's judgment. And Jonah just wants to die, doesn't he? Why is Jonah angry? A whole city has turned to God, our God, and asked for forgiveness. But Jonah is angry. Is it that God is the God of Israel alone, and Jonah just doesn't want to share? Is it that Jonah is a racist? Anti-Assyrian. Does he feel that God has just used him, effort and risk to bring a message of fire and brimstone, but the result, well, there doesn't seem to be any real result to Jonah. Wasted energy, thinks Jonah. Now, it might surprise you, but the Bible doesn't tell us why Jonah is angry. And in a very real sense, it doesn't matter. Because we, the reader, are asked, invited to see ourselves and to ask, are we angry? Have we are letting our emotions blind us to what God is doing? Do you believe that you deserve more than those around you? Have you been wronged and are finding it hard to forgive? Or maybe life has let you down. You do not enjoy good health and you think that you're entitled to it. Maybe you don't have a job and it doesn't matter what it is. Do you find yourself angry? Not just angry in general, but angry at God, mad at God. Now, I know that I've been struggling in this place for some time now, and I can't seem to get out of it. Jonah wants out, doesn't he? He wants a permanent out. In verse 3, "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." And he repeats it again in verse 9. Jonah just wants to die. And yet, to focus only on Jonah through this is to overlook the main character in the book of Jonah, God. God is the one who is at work here in this chapter. He is the God of the sea and the dry land, the God who is in control over the big story and over every single little detail. We've been told about all the little details along the way. God is in complete control here. And it's this God who Jonah is angry with. Jonah is angry with God somehow for showing mercy to Israel's enemies. And yet, God has great patience with Jonah here. What does God ask of Jonah? God does not ask Jonah what he's angry about. Do you notice what it is that God asked Jonah in verse 4? But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And it's the same with us. God does not sit down as if to bargain with us. "Are you upset? There, let me make it all right again." God instead asks us, do we have the right to be angry? Do we have the right to be angry even at God? It's a different question, isn't it? Do you have the right to be angry? Once again, though, just like the beginning of the book, Jonah simply ignores God. There is no answer. Jonah doesn't answer God. Jonah refuses to answer God, and so God persuades Jonah once again. Just as in chapter 1, when God provided a storm, now God provides a vine. And just in chapter 1, God provided a great fish, so here God provides a worm. And then he provides a scorching east wind. And the repetition of God's provision is meant to get our attention. We're meant to ponder on this word that keeps repeating, God's provision. If Jonah is so bad, running away and here angry and ignoring God, then shouldn't God punish Jonah? Well, human logic would say so. But in this book, in the book of Jonah, the response is actually God's provision. God provides for Jonah. Not necessarily what he wants, but what he needs to see things clearly. God persuades his servant gently with a vine and a worm, or not so gently with a storm and with a scorching east wind. But in all cases, it is God's kindness, his gentle persuasion, his provision for Jonah. And this time, though, this time, in the second time, after the worm, God's provision is something that helps Jonah to express his feelings. God gives Jonah relief from the sun, but takes it away again. And while it might seem mean of God, it's the change of concentration that Jonah needs. For a brief second, Jonah is concentrating on the vine and not on Nineveh. So God asks his question again. Do you have the right to be angry? A right to be angry about the vine? And at last, God has Jonah's attention. And God confronts Jonah. You care more about the vine than about the people. One vine. A vine that you did not plant, that you did not tend. A vine that was here for but a day. Compared to 120,000 people. People created by God, created in his image. People loved by God, and Jonah had ceased to see them as people. He had failed to see that as people, they did not know where they were going. They did not know the God who created them. People who did not know their right hand from their left. And the book of Jonah ends there, rather abruptly. God concerned about the people of Nineveh, but no answer at all from Jonah. Has he heeded God or not? Will Jonah get it? Will Jonah himself repent? And we're not told. We're left wondering. Now, I hope you've enjoyed our 3-week excursion into Jonah. We've been to Nineveh and back. We've seen that God has righteous patience for his people. The Creator God holds the whole of his creation to account. Jonah's anger with God completely ignores God's patience with himself. God, as Creator God, does he have the right to be patient with Jonah? Of course he does. He created Jonah. He loves Jonah. His desire is that Jonah would love him back. God has the right to be patient with Jonah. And by extension, God has the right to be patient with Nineveh too. Now remember back to the week one, the first week, where one of the readings that I had was 2 Kings 14 verses 23 to 29. And the question is asked, does God have the right to be patient with Israel? God showed Israel great patience by providing them with a season of political stability. He used the prophet Jonah, son of Amittai, the same Jonah from this book, to restore the boundaries of Israel. And he used an evil king, Jeroboam II, to bring about a period of economic prosperity for Israel. God was patient with Israel. He had provided for them graciously, even though they did not deserve it. He was very patient. Israel had all the advantages. They knew God. God had brought them over the Red Sea and through the Jordan. He provided a land and fulfilled his blessing towards Abraham. And yet, Israel had never repented like the sailors from chapter 1. They had never turned from their evil ways like Nineveh in chapter 4. Never. And so God, in Israel, tick, tick, tick. Would Israel repent in time? God seems to be unjustly patient, unjustly merciful to the we overlook the patience and the mercy that he to us. did not deserve. Creation is God to end. Prevent us that we see Him. I remind you and read two short passages to you. Has been patient. And the second, Titus 7. At one time, and envy, hated and hated.